Well, turning your Bibles to Hebrews 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we're seeing the men and women who took God at His Word and who believed God and basically did what He said. By faith, they trusted God, and that's our goal, the same thing. We want to be men and women who take God at His Word, who live by the Scripture, that do what He said. I mean, faith is the key. Let's think about it. Faith is the key in our lives. Think about this. Number one, that we are saved by faith. It is by grace we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, as Ephesians 2:8-9 says. So all of us in this room, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. There's a second aspect of faith, and that is we live the Christian life by faith. Colossians 2:6, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, we received Him by faith. He says, so walk in Him. We live the Christian life as a walk of faith, and that's the key. And so we live by the promises of the Bible. As we continue in this study, we're seeing the Hall of Fame of Faith. And what we're going to see this morning is what we call birth by faith, okay? And we're going to see Sarah and Abraham, and that's why we put it there. They, by faith, they have a baby. And you say, well, so? A lot of people have babies. Well, the truth is, they're too old to have babies. I mean, he's 100 years old, and she's 90 years old, okay? But this is birth is by faith, and we see the promise because God promised them a child. God promised a son. God promised the one that was going to come from. So here's Abraham and Sarah. It was going to be a son. And we see that. And we want to be men and women who take God at His word. Prior to Hitler's invasion of Czechoslovakia, and that's, of course, World War II and all the things that happened there, there was a pastor working in Czechoslovakia by the name of William Waller. He was in Prague, and he worked with refugees. And there was a man by the name of Carl Lowe's. And he was a great, he was a leading student, but he was a great influence among the other students. He was a great Christian, and then invasion came, and Pastor Waller said he lost track of most of the guys that he'd been discipling, especially Carl. Near the end of the war, they found an underground bunker, and that there were several, what they call, freedom fighters killed by the, murdered by the Nazis in that bunker. And there was something written on the wall, and so they saw the pastor, William Waller, and they said, can you read this? And he went in there, and it was a poem on the wall written, and he could read it. He said, here's what the poem said. I believe in the sun when it's not shining. I believe in love when I don't feel it. I believe in my Lord Jesus Christ even when He's silent. Signed, Carl Lowe's. So the man that he had discipled was killed in that, but he wrote that poem. And see, you know, faith is really taking God at His word. Sometimes we don't see the things. He'll say, I give you eternal life. And we say, okay, I have eternal life, but I don't feel eternal life. And He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And we say, okay, He's gone to prepare a place for us, but we don't see that yet. That hadn't happened yet. So faith is taking God at His word, even when we don't see it happening. Well, this morning, we're going to see an amazing thing, and it's a birth by faith. We say, oh, people have babies all the time. Well, the birth of a baby by Sarah and Abraham is special because they both passed the time to have babies, and they take God at His word. And how do we respond to the promises of God? Faith is taking God at His word. Let's think for a minute about God and what He does. First of all, there's the promises of God. God has promises all throughout the word. And when it says it, it's true, and He cannot lie. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God who cannot lie promised eternal life. There are promises all throughout the Bible for us. And when we see those promises, we can say, that is true, God can't lie. By faith, we take those promises. But tied in with the promises of God is the power of God. Because God not only promises to do something, but He's all-powerful. Nothing can stop Him from doing what He said. So when He says to us, I go to prepare a place for you, when I get it ready, I'll come back and get you, that's a promise. He doesn't lie, so we know that's for sure. But not only does He make the promise, He has the power to do exactly what He says, and nothing can stop Him. So this morning, we're going to see a birth by faith. And it's Abraham and Sarah. And they take God at His word, knowing that God is able to do whatever He says. And what we've talked about, and as Stephen mentioned it a while ago, that when we think about faith, faith is actually just taking God at His word. And we have the Scripture, and we say, let's trust the Word of God. That's faith. That's what faith is. A walk of faith is living your life based on the truths and the principles from the Word of God. Here's something that, and we haven't talked about this lately, but when we started our study, we brought out two key things. Number one is that faith always has an object. When people say, all you got to do is believe, I go, believe what? There has to be an object of faith. Faith has an object. We say you believe in Jesus Christ. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ. You believe, that's the object of our faith. The second, it's not the quality or quantity of our faith, but it's the object of the faith that's the key. You can say, I really believe in Buddha, but he's not going to save you. It doesn't matter how much faith you put in Buddha, you are not saved. But you put your faith as small as a grain of mustard seed in Jesus Christ, he gives you eternal life. So with faith, there's always an object, and it's not how much faith you have, it's the object of your faith, which is the key. Here's what we've been seeing in this study. We saw by faith it was creation. We saw by faith it was the sacrifice of faith, Abel. By faith we saw the walk of faith, Enoch. By faith we saw the work of faith, Noah, as he built the ark. By faith we saw Abraham leaving the land that he was living in, the Ur of the Chaldees, to go and do what God told him to do, and he didn't even know where he was going. And then last week we saw by faith they were dwelling. Abraham and Sarah and even his sons and grandsons, they lived in temporary dwelling places on this earth. They never possessed the promise that God has for them. But they will, because by faith they lived as strangers and pilgrims. Well, this morning, what do we have? By faith, there's a birth. Sarah and Abraham trust God that he's going to give them this child. And as I said a while ago, it's not that they were like 38 and 36 or 45 and 42. Abraham, by the time the baby comes, is 100. And by the time the baby comes, Sarah is 90 years old. Past time to have child. So when we look at our passage this morning in verse 11, if you go ahead and flip the verse 11, I say, by faith Sarah conceived, and verse 12, by faith Abraham produced. And that's what we're going to see as we look at it this morning. Let's start with Sarah. Sarah is mentioned first. Go ahead to the next slide. Her name was Sarai. Let's look at it. Hebrews 11, verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability. Listen, by faith, Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. Why? Since she considered him, God, faithful who promised. When we start thinking about Sarah, her name was Sarai, which means nagger. Now think about it. Abraham's name, his original name was Abram, which meant big daddy, high father. It meant like, you're the big daddy, you got a bunch of kids. He had no kids. And her name was Sarai, which actually meant nagger. So as they went, here's Big Daddy and Nagger. I mean, that's what you had. And then God changed the name. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And he changed her name from Sarai, Nagger, to Sarah, which means princess. And it says here that Sarah herself, even by faith, Sarah received ability to conceive. It's a little bit strange because in the Greek it actually says she received power to lay down seed. The woman doesn't normally lay down seed. What it really says is she received the ability to receive the seed and produce a child. That's what she's going to do. We could say this is no big deal because their ladies have babies all the time. We've got people in our church having babies. It's fantastic. But what was so special about this is they were beyond the proper time. Notice what it says, even beyond the proper time of life. 90 years old. Now, I want to remind you of something. When God first gave the promise to Abraham and to Sarah that they were going to have a child, Abraham was 75 and she was 65. They're already older, okay? I don't want to say old because I know somebody that's 65 and they're not old. But anyway, so it says that God came to them and said when he was 75 and she was 65, you will have a child. And this child will be the seed through which the Messiah is going to come, because Abraham's going to have a son, and that son's going to have a son, and that son's, and they're going to go until the Messiah comes. That's the plan. Years passed. Abraham said, well, I'm 76, now I'm 78, now I'm 80, now I'm 82, now I'm 84, now I'm 88, now I'm 92, now the baby has not come. Sarah says, well, guess what? I'm getting older too. And before you know it, Abraham is right at 100, and Sarah is 90 years old. It doesn't matter how you look at it. That's too old probably to have kids. That's what we're thinking. And look, let's turn to Genesis 18. Hold your place in Hebrews 11, and let's see what happened. Turn back to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, and look at Genesis chapter 18. And we're going to see what God says. Now, Abraham, if you remember, lived in tents. He never had a permanent home, never had a foundation, never built a house. His entire life lived in the promised land as he traveled around. Abraham. I want you to get a little background here. Abraham is sitting in front of his tent one day. And in that part of the world, you can see a long way off. If somebody's coming, you can see that they're coming, right? Nobody just drives up in the driveway and you go, "Oh, I didn't know y'all were coming." You can see them from a long way off. One day, Abraham is sitting in front of his tent. Look at chapter 18, verse 1. Now, the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, there's a number of things that are different about this. Number one, people didn't travel in the heat of the day, okay? Second is, Abraham could have seen these people. There's going to be three of them coming. One of them, there's two angels and the Lord. And I want you to notice another thing. It says, the Lord. Notice, if you've been studying with us in Sunday school, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the personal name of God. That's YHWH. So the personal God appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. He's sitting there. He's been looking out. There's nothing. He looks down. He looks up. And there are three people right there. It said, when he lifted up his eyes, behold, three men were standing opposite him, and he saw them, and he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. Now, why would he go bow down before these people he doesn't even know? He knows who they are. To just appear like that, you know what Abraham says? This is God. And notice what he says, and my Lord, if I found favor in your sight, don't pass by. Let me get you some water. Let me go get some food. And that's what he does. He goes back in and he says, Sarah, go get this. And we're going to cook this and we're going to get this food. Let's get it all, get it ready. And he gets it all ready. And the three guys, one of them is the Lord, the eternal God. And he gets it all ready. And look what happens. He gives him food. They're all ready. They're talking. They're eating. Now, where is Sarah? See, in that culture, the woman didn't eat with them. She stayed back. She did some cooking and maybe get the food out there, but she didn't eat with them. So notice what God says, verse 9. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, well, she's in the tent. Now watch. He wants Sarah to hear this. Because when he said, where is Sarah, your wife? I'm sure she's in the tent. She's probably been like this already anyway. Right on the edge saying, I wonder what they're talking about. These people. Watch, verse 10. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah your wife will have a son. And Sarah was listening to the tent door, which was behind him. So she is listening. She's listening to everything. He says, a year from now you'll be holding a son. A year from now Sarah will have a little boy in her arms. Now the writer Moses, when he wrote the first five books of the Bible, here's what he said. He wanted to make sure we understood. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Just want you to know, this is not like, she's 30, 35. No. She's not supposed to have any kind of baby. For him to say, listen, back a year from now, you're going to be holding a baby? That is a miracle. We could say, it's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God, is it? Now, if you're Sarah, what do you think? You're going, what? It says, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I become old, shall I also have pleasure? My Lord, being also old, the pleasure is having a child. She said, I'm too old. She's laughing to herself. That's not going to happen. How can that happen? Now, before we get all upset with Sarah because she laughed, I want you to turn back to Genesis 17. And look at 15. This is about a year earlier, not quite a year earlier. In chapter 17 begins, Abraham is 99 years old. Okay, by the time the baby comes, he's 100. So it's not too much earlier. And look at verse 15. God said to Abraham, this is 17:15. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, he hadn't changed her name yet. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, Nagar, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I'll give you a son by her. Then I'll bless her, and she'll be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. How does Abraham react? Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said, will a child be born to a man who's 100? And will Sarah, who is 90, bear a child? So if we want to kind of laugh about something, if we want to think that Sarah's not trusting, well, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. At least Sarah laughed to herself. She went, that's not going to happen. Go back to chapter 18. Look again at verse 12. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old? And watch. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I'm so old? Now, Sarah didn't laugh out loud. It said Sarah what? Laughed to herself. You ever laugh to yourself? Nobody knows you're laughing, but you know, deep down you're going, that's not going to happen. I'm telling you that. And God says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? You can see Sarah going, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you, at this time next year, Sarah will have a son. And then you can hear Sarah through the tent. Here's what she said. I didn't laugh. But she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. You can't ever get past God, right? I mean, you can't lie. You know, I didn't lie. Yes, you did. I wasn't there. Yes, you were. I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. Wow. Even though at the beginning she doubted, but we find that she believed God. Hebrews 11 says, by what? By faith, Sarah. By faith. She gained the power to have a baby. What happened? I want you to look just a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 1. Then the Lord, notice capital L-O-R-D, the personal God, took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Let me ask you a question. Does God always do what he promises? Does God have the ability and power to do whatever he promises? There's nothing impossible with God if he makes a promise to do something. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, and at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him, Abraham called the name of the son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him. What's the name? Isaac. What does Isaac mean? Laughter. Why did they call him laughter? Because both of them laughed the first time they heard that this was going to happen. So Isaac means laughter, and that's what they called him. And by faith, they received the power to conceive. Okay, go back to Hebrews 11. Back to Hebrews 11. As you're turning there, by faith Sarah, even herself, received ability to conceive. By faith, she trusted God that she'd be able to have a baby, even beyond the proper time of life. She's 90 years old. She said, you're not really supposed to have a baby at 90 years old. That's just not going to happen. But if God says it, if God makes the promise, whatever he promises, he's able to do. She considered him faithful who had promised. He will do what he says. Do you and I believe that what God tells us in his word that he will do? She knew that God would keep his word. Do you not take God at his word? When he says to you, I give you eternal life and you'll never perish. I mean, I know people who believe in Jesus Christ and we say, you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. What does he give you? He gives me eternal life. So you're going to have eternal life with Jesus forever? And they say, I hope so. I said, wait a minute. What was the promise? Did he give to you eternal life the moment you believe? What's the answer? Yes. Do you have eternal life? I hope every one of you in this room, if somebody said, if you've trusted in Christ, what do you have? Eternal life forever. That's a promise. Do you believe that all things ultimately going to work together for good? Isn't that what he said? He said, those who love God, those are called according to his purpose, all things work together for good. You trust that? I didn't say all things were good. There are going to be some really bad things happening in our lives. Okay? What about he's gone to prepare a place for us in heaven? Has he done that? You believe? Where is Jesus right now? Seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. What's he doing up there? He told in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I get it ready, I'll come back and get you. In my Father's house, there are many what? Many rooms. If it wasn't that way, I would have told you. Do you believe that? Do we believe the promises of God? And is God able to do what he promised? Listen, I can make a promise to you, and I'm not even lying, but that doesn't mean it's going to come true because I don't have the power to do everything I say I'm going to do. I may tell you I'll be there at 8 o'clock in the morning to help you move, and I leave the house at 5 to 8 to go out there, and the car won't crank. And I go, I can't get there. And so I'm not there when I said to you. But whatever God says, he has the ability and power to do. And so you can go to the promises in the scripture that are for us. Now, not every promise in the scripture is for us. But the promises in the word of God that are for us, you can guarantee it. Do you remember, and we mentioned it this morning in our Sunday school class, but when Mary, who is engaged to Joseph, this is Mary, the mother of our Savior Jesus Christ, when the angel Gabriel came to her, and he came to her in the middle, just all of a sudden, there he was, and she was afraid, and he said, don't be afraid, I've got great news for you. And she listened, and he said, you're going to have a child. This child will take the throne of his father, David. He's going to be the Messiah. He will rule forever. He'll take the house, the throne of Israel, and he'll be the king and the Messiah forever. And she said, well, here's my only question. Since how's that going to happen since I'm a virgin? How am I going to have a child? And he said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and that which will be conceived in your womb is the Son of God. And what did she say? Whatever God says is going to happen, that's what's going to happen. How do we view the promises of God? Is he going to take care of us? Will God provide every need that we have? Will he take care of us? Will he ever leave us or forsake us? That song Stephen sang, he's even greater than we can imagine. You can't imagine how great God is. First of all, you can't imagine how evil Satan is. We don't even know how bad he is. We think he's bad. He's much worse than we could ever imagine. But God is so much greater than we can even imagine. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We don't have to worry. Well, how do we view the promises of God? Well, let's look at the second thing. Let's look at Abraham now. Abraham produced, okay? Abraham's 100 years old. You say, Abraham, you're going to be able to produce a child? He goes, well, not normally. Not normally. However, God said that there will be a child. Look at it, verse 12. Therefore, there was born even of one man, that's Abraham, and him as good as dead, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Born of this one man. Now, he's as good as dead. You know, when you say good as dead, we're not talking about physically dead. We're talking about sexually dead. He's good as dead. Listen, he's not able to produce children. You could say to him, can you produce children? No, I'm past that time. No. But I want you to see something. Hold your place. I want you to go back to Genesis again, but this time Genesis 15. Let's turn a few pages back. Genesis 15. And remember, whenever you look at the Bible, you got to kind of get the background on what's going on. In Genesis 14, Abraham had a nephew named Lot, and they got captured in this battle. And Abraham took 315 of his soldiers. See, Abraham was a rich man, had a lot of property, a lot of people that worked for him. 315 of his soldiers, and they went and attacked these kings, and they defeated them, and they saved Lot's life and all the people, and they brought him back. But then Abraham began to worry. And he said, well, I whipped them once, but what if all those people come back against me? And God came to Abram in Genesis chapter 15. Notice what he said, Genesis 15. After these things, after he defeated those kings, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, don't be afraid, Abram. Don't be afraid. Why? I'm the shield to you. Your reward will be very great. And then Abraham said, well, but Lord, what will you give me? I'm childless. I don't have a son. And the heir of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. He had a servant. And if Abraham were to die, the number one servant in his family, since he didn't have any sons, would actually be his heir. And Abraham said, I think Eliezer is a good man, but I don't want him to be my heir. What are you going to give me, God? In verse 4, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one will come forth from your own body will be your heir. Now watch what he does. He took him outside, and he said, look toward the heavens and count the stars. And if you're able to count them, he said to him, so shall your descendants be. He took Abraham out and he said, look up there. He went, yeah, boy, that's a lot of stars. He said, that's how many kids you're going to have. That's how many offspring you're going to have. You're going to have a son, and your son's going to have sons, and then those sons are going to have sons, and they're going to have sons. And all, there are going to be more people than you can even count. And what did it say back in Hebrews? Stars that were innumerable, and the sand on the seashore, you can't even count it. Did Abraham have that many offspring? Let me ask you a question. Abraham had how many sons? You know how many sons he had? Two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac's the seed, but he also had Ishmael. Ishmael had 12 sons. All of the Arabs in the world are descendants of Ishmael through Abraham. All of the Jewish people in the world are descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. So every person, millions of people that are Arab or Jewish, that's descendants of Abraham. Do you think he had offspring like the stars in the sand? Yes. I want you to see something. Turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4. This is what Abraham believed. Romans chapter 4, verse 18, Paul is writing and he's talking about Abraham's belief and how Abraham trusted God. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 18. In hope against hope, he believed. That's Abraham. He believed. He believed what? What did Abraham believe? He's going to have a son so that he might become a father of what? Many nations, according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now good as dead, since he's about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. She's 90 years old. But look what he says. When he looked at the fact, I'm 100, she's 90, this not supposed to work. However, I think it's going to work. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that whatever God had promised, he was able to perform. Whatever God says, he does. He gives us eternal life. You'll never perish. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never leave you. He'll provide all of your needs. He'll provide all of your needs. Whatever God promises, he gives. God is always able to do what he promises. His word can't lie. His power, he's all powerful. What do we see? The birth by faith. We see Sarah by faith was given power to conceive, 90-year-old woman. Abraham by faith was given strength to produce seed, 100-year-old man. Back to Hebrews 11. As you're turning there, by faith Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, considering him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born this one man, Abraham, and as many as good, and as he's good as dead at that, and many descendants as the stars of heaven, in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Do you believe God's promises that are given to you? Bible's full of promises. Now, not everything, as I said a while ago, not everything is for you. There's some things that are for the nation of Israel. There's some things for particular people at particular times. But God gives promises to us. Look at this. I want you to think about this. Philippians 4:13, I can do what? What can you do? You can do all things through the one who gives you the strength. You believe that promise? Do you believe that you can do whatever God has for you to do? You know, you say, oh, I don't think I can do that. You can do anything. I don't think I can really witness to people. I don't really think, you know, I think if I got out there and I wanted to talk to somebody about their faith, I think I'd get all scared and I wouldn't know what to say. Do you think you could do it if God is your strength through you? Of course you can. Did he tell you to go witness to people? Did he tell you to be an ambassador for Christ? Did he tell you to share the message of Jesus Christ? If he told you to do it, he's going to give you the power to do it. And if you get the power to do it, you can do it. Look at this right here. Did he provide all that we need? Yes, Philippians 4:19. Does he give an inheritance for us? Yes, he's got a home for us, a body, eternal life. Do we have the power to serve? Yes, Galatians chapter 5. Do all things work together for good? Yes, Romans 8:28. Will he ever leave us? No. Hebrews 13. Listen, all of those are promises for us. You can guarantee not only will he do it, I mean, not only did he promise to do it, but he has the power to do it. Do we believe that we can live a victorious Christian life based on the promises and the power of God? The answer is yes. Do we take God at His word, trusting that what He promises, He will do? Let me give you some applications. First of all, take God at His word. This is faith. This is what faith is. We trust God in the events of life. He's in control. We do whatever He says. We trust Him based on the word of God. A, we trust God based on His promises and power. He can't lie. I think I have that verse. He can't lie. And He's all-powerful. Listen, isn't it great to know that the one who says, I will do that, well, first, He can't lie, so that means that's got to be true. And second is, He's all-powerful. That means whatever He says He's going to do because nothing can stop Him. We can trust Him, whatever He says. So know the Bible and live by the Bible. That's why we teach the Bible on Sunday mornings and in Sunday school and on Wednesday nights and the Bible studies that we have and all the things that are going. The emphasis in this body is the Word of God, because you have to know the Bible to apply the Bible. We have to know the promises to apply the promises, to say, I'm going to trust God. Study the Word. Live it out. Second, God can do even the impossible. Whatever He promises, He'll do, even if it seems impossible. Now, what if Abraham, after the three left, one of them's God, of course, and people came up to him and said, what do you do? And he said, well, I just want to tell them, no, by this time next year, I'll have a son. And he said, that's impossible. Abraham says, no, it's not impossible, because God promised it. And everything that He's ever promised us, it's not impossible. You know what he said? Whoever believes in me receives eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Do you have eternal life? Do you have forgiveness of sins? Yes, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? What are we? New creation. That's who you are. You're a new creation. Do you believe that? That's a promise from God. Anybody who believes in Jesus Christ, you become a new creation. Trust God in this world, living our lives based on the promises, the provisions, and the power of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ.